Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. This is one of those earworms. It's stuck in my head, that bass line.
Yeah, man. No. You know what? I'm going to learn this one just for you.
Yeah?
Just for you,
Appreciate
Luke.
Appreciate that, man.
Just real quick here, we've got a listener with a pretty cogent point. Catherine Penzack, always with the cogents, says, "Hi, Luke. I was just thinking maybe Michaels is a political genius, realizing that the less voters see of him, the better his chances." And you know what? That's kind of, yeah, wow.
Political genius is one way to put that, I guess, Catherine. I appreciate you texting in, Catherine, and appreciate you reading her text, Evan. It's definitely an interesting political strategy, I guess. I don't know. I am, maybe you could call me an originalist on this point.
This is the radio station you were looking for. Devil Radio 92.7. It surrounds it.
We're back. Disregard.
Sorry,
we don't know what's going
on there.
Sorry
about that, folks. You know, we're growing pains. We've gone from one station to two stations to four stations in the last couple of weeks. So apologize for those growing pains. But as I was saying, you can consider me an originalist. If you are running for governor in a state, you should reside in that state and probably be in that state for every single day of your candidacy. And maybe if you... outside things. I know a lot of these races all of a sudden become nationalized. You got a lot of candidates that have to go, say, do a fundraiser in Chicago or LA, New York, or so I can understand, maybe a handful of days out of the state. But Tim Michaels, if he in fact just flew back to Connecticut the weekend following winning the GOP's gubernatorial primary, I don't think that's good politics. Maybe as Catherine's alluding to, if the voters see less of him, that's better for his chances. And as Evan has pointed out, he's not necessarily that great when you get him in front of the microphone and start asking him questions. So it truly could be an aspect of the campaign strategy for the Michaels team. But it also indicates to me that there's not a whole lot there to defend the guy when a conservative troll like CJ calls in and instead of talking about the whereabouts of his candidate, for who he's voting for this November, he just immediately pivots to a talking point that we refuted here on this show yesterday. So it's interesting that that's the framing that they want to put the campaign in. But with Tim Michaels just disappearing, I have a feeling that's going to draw the conversation more towards that anyways then. So appreciate the text. You can be like Catherine. You can send us a text or give us a call. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but that's okay because we got Evan on the board and a ton of Wisconsin headlines that we want to dive into. So outside of Tim Michaels going MIA, we know that there is a lingering dynamic from the Gableman I-word. I'm not going to say the I word because I don't believe it was an I word. It's not what it was. It's a charade. I think charade is the best describer that I could use for what Gableman had done over the last 14 months here in the state of Wisconsin. Charade is probably the nicest way that I can put it as well, but he is no longer on the Wisconsin taxpayers' dime. He was let go via letter. I guess I don't know if he's read the letter yet. I'd be interested to know if the letter was emailed to him, so it was kind of an immediate thing. Voss was able to get off the hook. It wasn't a phone call. They haven't talked much this past month. Sounds like within the last month they had talked, according to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. But Voss and Gableman had a souring of their relationship. And so Gableman got fired last Friday, or at least the letter was sent out last Friday, after Voss quickly was able to figure out that he had the votes to oust him. And it was interesting to me, Evan, because I believe Voss wanted to fire Gableman 1 week ago, Tuesday night.
I'm going to go ahead and say longer than that. It's been... Okay, I understand what you mean.
But he's probably been hoping that Gableman would disappear quietly in the night, which I don't know why you would expect that. Indication over the last 14 months signaled that would be the case, that Gableman would just go out with a whimper. Voss is hoping that that's the case. But last Tuesday night, he was popping bottles of champagne, even though he only eked out an election victory against a nobody in the Republican primary for the 63rd district by less than 300 votes. And he had some very pungent words to say about Gableman at that time. But I believe the reason he didn't just fire Gableman on the spot was because deep down, Robin Voss was scared. He was scared that he didn't have the votes in his caucus. He needed to leave it up to a caucus to meet together with the members of his caucus to find out where he stood. In the back of his mind, he didn't know if he had the ability to fire him on the spot last Tuesday night. That is why I believe that his comments on Tuesday, leaving his campaign reelection party, were to say that, oh, we're going to meet with the caucus and we're going to find out. And he walked back his harsh statements from Tuesday night on Wednesday morning last week. But then came together, and by Friday, Voss had talked to enough of his members that he felt confident he could do it. Did not have that caucus meeting that was originally scheduled for today to determine Michael Gableman's fate here in the state of Wisconsin. And so Gableman's been fired, but that doesn't mean that the work that he was trying to do, the charade that he was trying to promote here in the state of Wisconsin, is gone as well. And this is going to be a piece over at the Wisconsin State Journal and written by Mitchell Schmidt. Questions linger over 2020 election review following Michael Gableman's firing. Again, I appreciate that Mitchell Schmidt over at the State Journal didn't call it the I word either. More and more reporters, outlets, not calling it the I word because the I word is not what it was. Review is still probably that might be the kindest way to put it, but it's definitely a charade. It's definitely a blunder, and it's not done yet. And we're going to dive into a little bit more of that aftermath here in this upcoming break, as well as your phone calls. Excuse me. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We'll be right back.
Affiliation.